instructions at the end.
No problem. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, attempt number two, but thank you really. And buongiorno. How are you? Good? Yes. So we're going to have a quick conversation, and I hope I'm not going to have an answer for the big, basically, discussion that we're going to talk about, which is how to change research evaluation, basically. But I hope I'm going to have a question at the end of this short conversation. Basically, when TB told me that the focus would have been this year, the research evaluation, I was like, all right, so that's going to be really, really challenging and really important. And it's becoming a tradition to speak here, and I really like it because it's a really open floor where everyone has many different points of view, and representing a publisher, it's really interesting because you can really see what are all the opinions going around in the whole landscape. And I think that before I get in to formulate this question, how we should change really our ways in which we evaluate research, we should start just saying that it's very important still to say that nowadays, you know, publish or perish doesn't really work anymore, in my opinion, and in simply because you can still publish and perish. There has to be an effort from the author to promote the article, and the research evaluation should slowly change into helping the author in this. And of course, what has been said by Dr. Eriks, of course, clear, takes the mark, you know, basically to having a reward system for how open is the article. But what would be interesting, it would be to help the author to find really the purpose of the specific piece of research. So why was that piece of research written, and what is the quality and the quantity metrics that the author would like to use and would like to see to judge if a piece of research is successful or not? And I think we should all try to match this basically aim and give support to the author on that. There are still people that say that, you know, that the very old 80-20 rule is still valid. So basically 80% of citations are really about 20% of research, which is a staggering basically statistic if you think about it, which means that really what really matters academically citation wise is just a smaller portion of research, 20% of it. So, and usually it's up to the editor, and it's up to basically many people to speak to the author and to tell them about that. But what I think is that the author should now try to really be in that 20%, and not just because of citation, but in the 20% of relevant academic research, because it's getting really competitive out there. It's a lot of data, and it's really up to us to speak again. I'm going to repeat it many times to the authors to convince them that they need to make an effort to be into the open, relevant, read, impactful side of the whole business, really. And then I'm going to tell you some initiative that we think at Taylor & Francis might be useful. Then you can, of course, ask questions and have a way of have a say and have a think on how they might work. Basically, this is called How Research Has Changed the World. It's an initiative in which we collaborate with a researcher. She is specializing into innovation technology and digital innovation, and on how research communication might really change and might have to change. And it's a series of podcasts, so there are 12 podcasts, really, in which different articles are illustrated and explained, basically. And the podcasts are very interesting, I would say, because, first of all, the podcast is a means nowadays that is becoming mainstream, so listening to something sometimes gets the learner having a better impact than just reading a piece of text. They appear, you know, in the algorithm, they appear on Google easier than just a piece of text. And these podcasts also are insightful because metrics-wise, there are a lot of people, for example, in the UK, 6 million people a week that listen to podcasts. I'm aware that the UK has a long tradition, of course, of podcasting and digital innovation, but nowadays, many people in countries like Europe or America have, for example, Spotify, of these
Apple, these apps in which you can listen to things. And this is a way to have academic research going into this. And of the authors that participate into this program, all other authors can just subscribe, but it's absolutely free. There's no, this is not a product that we are selling, it's just an initiative. So all the authors can then basically give out their details, and then they can participate to a course, a 12-week course on how to make the article more open. So this course can speak about, for example, things like working with social media or finding funding, depending on how open the article is, or something like basically engaging with the public community, registering a podcast like that, making a video abstract, all these things that will make the article more visible, more practically foundable, discoverable, I would say. And this is, again, interesting because there are many, also the topics of the articles range from artificial intelligence, farming, climate change, and they're usually not just academic, but it's interesting because they've been chosen because of this reason, I suppose. They are all about the impact of these specific pieces of research. So how climate change is viewed by farmers, for example, there, in which our farmers work with this academic, in this case, on this podcast, and they are absolutely aware that planting more trees is absolutely important. They just need a way to do it, they just need some help to do it, and they just need, of course, to favor their needs. Their needs is, of course, farming. So how the farming needs get really practically combined with the climate change problem that we have right now. So this is just, I would say, an example. But the 12-week course is interesting because it gives really some kind of practical knowledge on how making the article more open. And it's basically divided in two basically ways of doing it. One is for early career researchers and one is for mid-senior researchers. This is another initiative that we have shown last year, and it's basically working with our communication team. We can help the author, if the author wants to have that piece of research to go into the European Parliament. It is exactly the same mechanism on how it was working in the UK, and we have had 209 articles that have been sent to an office, which is called Post Office in the UK, that evaluates the articles and decides which one must really be sent to the House of Commons in the Parliament in the UK, which is, you know, it's, I would say, it's a staggering initiative simply because, you know, when we speak about open science, to have a piece of research to go into a political debate, it's what would matter the most, what would make the article more impactful at all. And we are doing the same for the European Parliament. We do not know yet the number of those that have reached or will reach the European Parliament, but it's a kind of a mechanism that we have in place, and authors can tell us, can ask us about that, absolutely. And also we were saying, again, speaking about metrics, and I will come back to what I was saying before, which is it's better to have a matrix, not just metrics, as we said, but this is our way of following and giving guidelines for metrics for authors, and everyone can ask us about it. But my advice would be, the first one, again, to speak to the author, really, we should all speak to the author to find out a way to make the author comfortable in telling us that basically that specific piece of research would be successful if this metric is achieved, if this outcome is achieved, if this demonstration is achieved, and for this specific reason. So it's not anymore just showing an article and say, okay, I have made my research and this is what I found. But it doesn't really work like that anymore. It should be, I have made this discovery, I've given my contribution to this broad conversation, and I think that this interests you for this reason. So that's how we should convince the authors to think, basically. I'm not saying that every academic article should become a piece of marketing or a piece of something like, but the concept, I think it's similar. We should convince academics that they need to care about it, and that they need also to engage with the public and find ways to demonstrate that that specific piece of research interests the public for the reason that they know. They know the reasons, not us, the publisher. We can't know that. We have many articles, we have many journals, of course, in the case of Taylor and Francis, but also not even the libraries, because also the libraries are absolutely busy with many, many things to do and many people to work with. It's just up to the author to tell us. But the problem is that many authors don't tell us because they're busy doing other things. So how to give a definition of research evaluation. This is the main problem, I think. And this is what we should all do. Then after that, these metrics can be judged, but only after that, effectively, you know, to enter into the famous 20% of research that is really being read. Also to understand why, in many cases, people read articles, but then they don't share them. Or in other cases, people share articles, but then they don't really read them. So all of these things try to basically go into the heart of the problem. And the second advice that I have, it's really try to convince the author again that every kind of measurement should follow the article and not the journal anymore. The journal is absolutely still very important for the publisher and for the library, but the author should care about the article, care less about the journal, to start transitioning into having a different research evaluation system. And that's something that many authors don't even think about. So maybe we don't shout loud enough, but as you can see, I'm repeating myself many times in this presentation. This is an initiative that we do just to reach authors, also readers, of course, because we need anyway, you know, kind of to have the content visible to reach readers. But I'm going to tell you just very quickly about the Informing Authors and Tracking Impact Initiative, just a little bit of very, very quick tips on how to contact the authors and telling them about how the article is performing, basically. And 5 minutes, okay, I'll try to do my best. This is the initiative about Informing Authors. Basically, we can just speak to them when the article is submitted, when the article is accepted, and when the article is published. We just speak to the authors and we give them all the information related to the article and how it's performing, and on the pre-publication life cycle. If the article is not open access, there are 50 free e-prints for authors to share, which is something that also can be useful. Every little tip is useful to make the article more visible, more discoverable, even if it's not open access, although I always say, convince your authors to publish open access. Absolutely. You have my agreement on that. And all the links, of course, that we provide to the author itself. We have informed 180,000 authors with this mechanism last year, and 380,000 free e-prints have been shared across, absolutely for free. And those were when the articles were not open access, just to show that even if the article is not open access, it can be shared. Although, of course, when the article is open access, it's much easier to do anything, really, simply because it can be shared infinite thousands of times, it can be accessed for free, and it can be also licensed. And another thing I try to say, and many people look at me, the commercialization of an article is not a sin, it's not bad by definition. It's something that sometimes marries the open science concept. I'm sure that we can have a long debate about that. But to convince the author also that the commercialization of that specific content, it's not bad. It's also something that might take an effort, specifically in many sectors of the academic community. I think we should also make an effort on that and go just beyond the pharmaceutical world, but enter into the economic and business world as well. And on the tracking impactful life of the article, we send just updates to the authors 6 months and 12 months after the article has been published. And many of them, basically, after 6 months, they receive an update on how the article is performing. And then, you know, in this case, we have half of them responding to this update. And what I would say is that, again, we can also send this information to the author, but the author decides if the article is successful or not, basically. And but then he should tell us somehow to give us the input on how we should perform as a publishing house as well. 1,600 of our journals have a basic data sharing policy, basically. So it is possible to access this data. They follow the open data and fair principles, and they follow basically, so those are Taylor & Francis owned journals that can have this basic data sharing policy. The data availability statement, the data set are all available, and if there's any question, the author can ask our editorial team and our communication team. We are participating into the Open Citation and Metadata Initiative, which means that all citations in Taylor & Francis are open, independently of the article, if it's subscription or not, if it's open access or not. The metadata related to the article as well, so there is no kind of product related to citations any longer. And another thing I would say people should try to speak to the authors about is the Open Science Badge, which is great, simply because specifically those related to the article, not the journal, those related to the article might be really one of the first initiatives to judge an article depending on how open it is, objectively, to give the author some kind of measure to understand if the article is performing well or not, depending on how open it is. The, we have a couple of trials here. Code Ocean, basically, if it's just a trial that we have, but it's interesting because you can access one article and run the code on how that specific demonstration was done to demonstrate the point into that article. It's not just for computer scientist experts. It's, anyone can do it. Sketchfab is just 3D, basically, pictures of anything in the article that people can play with. It's not holograms yet, but it's something that goes to show that in chemistry, in computer, in medicine, it can be useful to have a better visualization. And again, in open access, this can be shared anywhere, really. And I'm going to finish just to say that, again, the question is, are we sure that we really engage with authors enough to tell them that they should decide what is the criteria to judge the success of their article, the qualitative evaluation that they have? Why are they publishing that article and what they want to get out of it, basically? Once they have a clearer understanding, they can speak with the library, they can speak also with the publishing house, and they can be the leaders of the metrics. But the metrics follow this qualitative evaluation, which should come first from the author. So maybe if we all kind of realize that perhaps we should do more on that, then maybe at some point we will also have a clearer objective way of judging articles depending on how open they are, on how they are performing in the real world. So this is my opinion, and I hope that after this conference everyone will have perhaps a clearer question in mind, not an answer, but a clearer question. Thank you very much.